Director Brooks?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Present.
Director Gomez?
Yes.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Sauer?
Good morning, I'm here.
Director Sweeney?
Yes.
Chairman Schillerstrom?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, may I have a call?
All right, we will proceed to the next item. And I would point out that we are recording this pursuant to the Open Meetings Act. So everything will be recorded. And that is both on camera and also on tape. So, all right, we will proceed to the next item, which is public comment. This is the time during our meeting when we give the public an opportunity to speak to us, to tell them of things that are of concern. I would ask the public commentators, if you are interested in speaking, we have yellow cards here that I will call your name from. If you haven't filled out one of these, I think they're right over here on this table. I'd ask you to fill one out if you could, and then give it to Dan, and we'll call your name and ask you to come on and speak. I would ask you to try and keep your comments to about 3 minutes. We have a variety of people who are interested in speaking and want to give up, and we'll give everybody a chance to do it. So I would ask you to be concise and to the point so everybody does have a chance. So our first speaker is, when I call your name, I'd ask you to come up here to the podium and speak into the microphone. Our first speaker is Mr. Gary Lundgren, and he is from Long Grove. He is a concerned citizen and would like to speak about the 53 extension north of 120. Mr. Lundgren.
I travel every day down 53 coming home, and it's a three-lane road, and it becomes a two-lane right past Dundee Road, and of course Lake Cook is where it ends. And when you extend 53, if that happens, you're looking at doing a two-lane extension each way. That would cause a tremendous bottleneck right there when 10 to 15 times more traffic is going north on 53 because of three lanes going to two lanes. And then what it will cause, you'll have to expand the expressway to three lanes. I know it's designed for three, but you're only pricing two lanes each way, which is already one of the most expensive expressways in history because you're raising it up above all the wetlands. So I think that is not even being considered in a cost factor. And I understand that two-thirds of the money needed to fund the interest payments on the bonds estimated for the cost are not there for the revenue projected from the tollway. Well, where is that going to come from? You're just going to tax all the residents. You destroy the areas of Long Grove, Kildare, and Hawthorne Woods. So we're not for this at all, and I think it's a boondoggle that's going to straddle the people of Lake County.
Thank you, Mr. Longwood. Next is Vanessa Griffin, and she is from Hawthorne Woods. She would like to address the 53 extension proposal, and she is opposed to that. Ms. Griffin.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I come to you today speaking off the cuff to share with you the perspective of someone who lives in the community of Hawthorne Woods, a beautiful, calm, quiet, nature soaked community where run in wild places and enjoy what a connection with the earth and with the spaces that are wild and natural. And that's why we moved there. We moved there so that we could have access to the best of all worlds, that we could visit the city and have access to those experiences of culture, but also have ready access to the world around us. And we feel in our community that this project threatens that for a number of reasons. I wrote an editorial, which was picked up by the Daily Herald, if you're interested in seeing more specific opinions about that. I come here today with one specific request, that you not spend more taxpayer money on exploring a proposal that has failed time and time again for the same reasons, because there isn't consensus, and the people who live in Lake County move to Lake County because there are lakes, and because there are wetlands, and because we do have herons nesting and egrets flying overhead. And we have a connection to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Next is Mr. Carl Henry. He is with the Coleman Development Corporation. Mr. Henry.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Carl, and I am with Coleman Development Corporation. We're a general contracting firm. And we have been assisted by the Construction Business Development Center, and they have been helping us bid on your tollway small business set-asides. So you guys have a small business set-aside program that helps small businesses grow, and they have been a tremendous help to us, and I just wanted to express that today.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. And next is Mr. Lester Coleman, and he is with Coleman Development Corp.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lester Coleman. I'm president of Coleman Development Corporation. We're a full-service general contracting firm. We've been in business for 19 years, and our primary focus was on vertical construction. When the opportunities came about through the Construction Business Development Program for horizontal construction, it was something that we met together with, and we said, this is something that we can do. The model of our company is rebuilding communities and reshaping lives. There was no way in the world that Coleman Development could have even thought of trying to do horizontal construction. But with the Business Development Center, these guys have taken us by the hand, have shown us through their classes, through their patience, through walking us through the bid processes on how to bid and become more inclusive of Illinois state contracts. We wouldn't have had inkling had it not been for their assistance and their help. And I just ask that you guys to please look favorably upon them, because it is a vitally needed program for underserved, underemployed Illinois residents who look for opportunity, because it is our small business charge to employ those people and bring them the opportunities. And through the Illinois Tollway Authority, this is a way for us to get that. So please, gentlemen, please, and ladies, please look faithfully upon them. Thank you so much. I'm the Construction Development Center. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Next is Mr. John Crothers, and he is from Oak Brook, Illinois, and he would like to speak about the Loop 53 extension. Mr. Crothers.
Good morning. I have a prepared statement. My name is John Crothers. I represent the Associated Equipment Distributors, which is North America's leading association for heavy equipment dealers and distributors, as you said, located in Oak Brook. We believe the Route 53 extension is key to unlocking jobs and economic growth, while at the same time helping to alleviate traffic congestion. A proposed extension has gained significant momentum, the point where the Illinois Tollway Board is considering green lighting in a much anticipated environmental impact study,
which will provide the necessary details to advance the project. The modern parkway not only reduces congestion and saves commuting time, but also strikes a balance between economic growth and jobs, along with the kind of environmental stewardship that we pride ourselves in this region. As the competition for businesses to locate here and expand continues to be an uphill battle, preliminary economic development and job growth data is very promising and represents a tremendous economic opportunity for our region and state. The economy also creates a stable and a diverse tax base, which means less property tax burden for our residents. It's no wonder this project is gaining overwhelming support from regional, county, and local elected officials. Business owners
residents, and even many in the environmental community. I was very pleased to read Carrie Lester's column in the Daily Herald this morning that mentioned a recent survey confirming more than 75% of Lake County residents support the Route 53 extension, with only 17% against them, which are pretty good numbers. We at AED urge the tollway board to move forward with this environmental impact study. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Crothers. Next is Mary Matthews, and she is from Lake Forest. She would like to discuss Route 53 and the budget. Ms. Matthews?
Glad I'm following the previous speaker. I understand later in this meeting you will be discussing the budget. I would like to suggest that you may not want to waste any funds on an EIS for the Route 53 extension. A number of you are new to the board and may not be aware of the full history of this controversial project. So there are any precipitous decisions, the fiscally prudent decision would be to wait a bit and find out more about the situation. I believe previously the Tollway Board had two requirements in order to consider taking on the project. One was consensus and one was a viable financial plan. While Aaron Lawler, chair of the Lake County Board, has done an admirable job of portraying that both provisions have been met, that is not true. As you probably know, sometimes political gimmicks are used in pushing governmental projects. Previously, some people have mentioned that 75% of Lake County wants the road. That is not correct. There was an advisory question put on the ballot in April of 2009, expressly because there would be low voter turnout. That is an old trick. So while, yes, 75% of the people who actually bothered to vote and got to the bottom of the ballot said yes to the question, should Illinois build Route 53, that is not a good representation of the population. It was only 16%, and there was no information about the cost included with the question. So I have used this example before, and I'll do it again now. If you ask a child if he wants a lollipop, he will probably say yes. If you then tell him that it's going to cost $100 and taste like broccoli, he will probably change his mind. Same with the tollway. As people have learned about the financial and community costs, it has become very unpopular. Another smooth step taken to prove consensus was the recent joint letter from the mayors. I believe you already read in the paper that five municipalities in the corridor disagreed with it. Other municipalities, as they learn more about the extension, how it will affect their communities, are not supporting the plan. This month, the City of Highland Park discussed the letter and project at a committee of the whole meeting and declined to move it forward to a city council meeting. Likewise with the Village of Lake Bluff. Some communities had second thoughts after already signing the letter. Wadsworth does not agree with the financial plan. Without funding, there is no road. While the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council stipulated that the public was supposed to be informed and involved all along, this has not happened. The mayor of Great Lakes signed the letter without ever presenting it to his board for approval or at a public meeting. As far as the fiscal plan, it is unlikely that you will be able to count on some of the proposed sources. First, the 4 cents gas tax has to be approved by Springfield. With the state's uncertain funding for IDOT and need for its own increase in gas tax, it is unlikely that the General Assembly will approve an additional amount for Lake County. And residents will let their legislators know what they think. In recent years, the last two referendums for a 4 cents increase in sales tax have been defeated. Tax increases in Lake County are not popular. It already is one of the highest taxed in the country. The Value Capture District also is unpopular and needs Springfield's approval. There are not a lot of school districts that have a surplus of funds and would be agreeable to lose 25% of the taxes from increased commercial property value. Again, as school districts and others learn about the ramifications, they do not agree with the concept. Some Lake County officials are rushing this through because residents and municipalities are learning the details and do not agree. The Tollway Board probably has a better way to allocate $40 million than to waste on a lost cause.
Thank you, Ms. Matthews. Once again, I would ask the public commentators to try and keep their remarks to 3 minutes so that we can keep moving forward. Our next speaker, and I apologize in advance, I'm having a hard time with your writing, it's Navjot Bajina from Ocean Mist Incorporated, and the topic is Construction Coaching for Growth Program. Mr. Bajina. Ms. Bajina.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Navjot Bajina, President CEO of Ocean Mist, which is a construction company. We are specialized in all kind of a construction hauling, excavation, site work, sewer. We are certified WBMB, DB with various government agencies. I'm here on behalf of a small business, and I highly appreciate Illinois Tollway's effort to educate us, encourage us, and providing us the opportunity to work on their projects. Set site program for small business, unbundling project is a great example of providing us opportunity to bid and perform and work on there. I have participated in one of your program, Construction Coaching for Growth, with the Illinois Hispanic Chambers of Commerce, which gave me knowledge and tools to build my company's capacity to bid as a prime contractor. Due to that, our company is growing, our revenue is increased, there is more opportunities for us, and I'm looking for continuous support from Tollway. Thank you, Tollway.
Thank you, Ms. Bajina. Next is Ms. Nancy Hill, and she would also like to address Route 53-120. Ms. Hill.
Good morning, and thank you in advance for listening to my concerns. I grew up in Lake County. I love it there, but I'm feeling that it is squeezing us out. Currently, we live in Gurnee, which is about a mile from Route 20 and Hunt Club Road. There were a couple reasons that we moved there. First, the property taxes were more reasonable than other suburbs in Lake County, which already have some of the highest in the country. Secondly, we wanted to move to an area with less traffic, less development and density, and more open spaces. This project, in order to be paid for, must bring more development and density, more traffic, and reduce our open space. So why is it really being built? On a more specific issue regarding the 120 tollway, the intersection at Hunt Club and 120 is heavily used by thousands of drivers a day. We think this is where the intersection will be for us to access the new 120 tollway, but we're not sure. If someone like me who uses this section of 120 many times on a daily basis has to pay a toll, this is going to be a hardship in both cost and ease of use. For commuters who can't afford all these increased costs and they want to get to a free highway like 41, they'll have to take the next road north, which is Gages Lake. If they want to get to Route 45, they'll have to use Gages Lake Road. Gages Lake Road is, we call it in the morning, a gauntlet. It's got two special use schools. It has two of our community's elementary schools and also a high school, so it's full of buses. If you don't use Gages Lake Road, you have to go one north of that, and that's Washington, and that is already very, very busy. So how is this Route 120 tollway going to affect us? And we're not hearing about that up in Gurnee at all. All we hear about is the Route 53 portion of it. So it's going to make our access more difficult, more expensive, and the east-west traveling worse. And as you all know, the east-west is a really big issue. So it's going to make our access worse. There have been countless studies that show that once you build a new highway, within years it will be bumper to bumper. And most, their conclusion is, increasing roadway capacity is a short-term solution, which will be offset by increased demand in about 5 years. This is Fessler, 2013. He said in his conclusion, building our way out of congestion is not only a fallacy, but is not financially sustainable in an environment of limited resources. So please, I'm asking that we try some other alternatives first.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Next is Mr. Evan Craig. And he is from Vernon Hills with the Sierra Club, and he would like to speak also on Route 53-120. Mr. Craig.
I brought a few copies.
Very good. Thank you.
morning. My name is Evan Cray. I'm the volunteer chair of the Sierra Club Woods and Wetlands Group, representing the environmental concerns of thousands of members and supporters in northeastern Illinois. Thanks for this opportunity to speak. Sierra Club was a member of the coalition that helped citizens stop the extension of Route 53 into the heart of Lake County at the end of the last century. People opposed the high cost of the extension then and the loss of our open space it would have caused and stopped your last campaign to build it. So we're not surprised that the PR campaigns that you've sponsored this century, the 120 Bypass Committee and the so-called Blue Ribbon Advisory Committee, have all barred participation by the Sierra Club representatives, while seducing a few environmental organizations with a promise of a kinder, gentler Route 120-53 through the same unbuildable wetland corridor that has made this extension unaffordable for over 50 years. Nor are we surprised that you, Governor Rauner's new tollway authority, are refusing to support the conditions that they set to minimize the damage of the 53-120 proposal. Instead, you have tasked Lake County with taxing itself to help pay for its own demise. The speculative real estate tax capture Lake County has proposed will not come until after you get your Route 53 extension, and considering the extreme tolls planned, might never come. This deceitful sleight of hand is just one of the reasons why citizens in Lake County remain opposed to the destruction of Lake County by the Route 53 tollway extension. So I'm leaving you with a couple of the recent news articles that witnessed the cost of building roads in wetlands and the growing opposition to your PR campaigns and the sneaky and misleading tactics being used by some to promote it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Curry. Next is Edith De La Cruz, and she is from Chicago. She is with a group called Antiqua Incorporated and CPDC. Ms. Cruz.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Edith De La Cruz, President and CEO of Antiqua Inc., a construction company 100% woman-owned. And today I am here to thank you for the opportunities that you have provided for us, for our learning, for diverse businesses through CDBC and the Illinois Community College board members. I thank you that what they have provided has been an incredible assistance in construction, in estimating. I highly value education just like many of us here. We go to college in hopes to find the right instructors well-versed in their theme. And the program at CDBC through the five suburban colleges is a neutral ground that reaches diverse companies who are willing to go and take opportunity of what you have provided for us. Directly or indirectly, you have paid for part of my tuition in the learning process of my business in construction. I have used their program, their estimator, for example, is someone that is well-versed on what he has done. He started as a journeyman in his youth. He went to college, started his business in construction, went back, got a master's degree from DePaul University, and now he is a consultant for diverse businesses. And these are the type of individuals that CDBC actually brings to the table. The colleges are open for those who are willing to open the doors and walk right through them. If they want to take the opportunity that you so graciously have been given and offered to advance the opportunity through educational system, they are neutral ground with no memberships attached. But we have to do, as small business, as a business owner, I have to do my due diligence, and that is to go and ask for help. And due to that, I have to say, I also have to thank you. Because of that, I have been able to get awarded on a contract at the tollway, currently going, and it's under a general contractor. It's going very well, I must say. And also, last year, I was also a successful bidder, but there were some technicalities, which it made me stronger because I went back, and with the assistance of the CDBC and the Illinois Colleges Board, they were able to provide assistance and help me out through the process so that I can continue bidding and I can continue seeking the opportunities that you have provided for small business through unbundling programs and through the small business set aside. So, and also because of that, I'll be able to team up and continue to go as a sub-joint venture with another company for your job project. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and all I ask you to is to please reconsider continuing the businesses, continuing the opportunities through mutual grounds that are open for anyone, and it reaches a multitude of South Suburban colleges. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dale-Tours. Next is Mr. Jeffrey Berman, and he is from Buffalo Grove, and he would also like to speak about Route 53.
Good morning. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak this morning. I am, as he said, Jeffrey Berman. I am a village trustee in the village of Buffalo Grove. I've served our community for nearly 20 years. In that capacity, and I serve as our village's transportation liaison. And I'm here this morning to encourage the Tollway Authority to move forward with the Route 53 extension EIS that is on slated for your consideration. Our community lives on a daily basis with the impact of the premature termination of Route 53 at Laycook Road. Thousands upon thousands of cars traverse Laycook Road each day, getting to and from Route 53, 294, and other destinations in Lake County and beyond. We see the impact, and there are very much adverse impacts of the failure to move forward 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago with this extension. In fact, one media outlet recently quipped that the notion of extending Route 53 northward into Lake County has been around so long that it's become a punchline. That may be true, but the project itself has not diminished in importance, and its need has not become any less immediate. Traffic congestion is a growing threat to our community and to the Lake County region. Congestion and bottlenecks damage air quality, slow commerce, hinder economic development that is desperately needed, increase energy consumption, and threaten the quality of life. Regional congestion already nears intolerable levels, and it will continue to worsen until the area is relieved of the impact from the premature and unjustifiable termination of Route 53 at Laycook Road. The greater good of the region, and specifically Lake County's overwhelmed transportation system, argues inescapably for the northward extension of Route 53. Recall just a few years ago, and I recognize one of the earlier speakers mentioned that a lot of you are new to the board, but the Tollway Authority and IDOT engaged in a joint venture called the Lake County Transportation Improvement Project. That comprehensive study conclusively demonstrated that the extension is the superior choice, taking into account not only traffic congestion relief, but impacts and costs as well. More recently, an unprecedented collaborative effort was undertaken in Lake County to bring together disparate interests in an effort to fashion a reasonable constructive solution to how to move forward, how to progress, and yet take into account the needs and interests of the neighbors of the roadway and the environmental concerns. And that's what has been brought forward to the Tollway Highway Authority. Now you should move forward with this effort. Study it. Get the EIS completed, instead of speculating on harms and awful specters that some folks would tell you exist. Let the study proceed, fund the study, let's move forward, let's get this done for the people, for the communities, for the greater good of the entire region. I urge you to move forward, and I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Berman. Next is Robert Parker, and he is with Carter Consulting Corporation. He would like to discuss contractors' business development. Mr. Carter.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Ron Carter, and I am a consultant with the Contractors Business Development Center. We engage DBEs, disadvantaged business enterprises, through South College, Prairie State College, and Marine Valley. And I wanted to share with you this morning that this is a valuable program. We've seen this work before. In 1995, I came to Chicago as a government technical representative for HUD in the federal takeover of the Chicago Housing Authority. We created a program very similar to this called ROBO, Resident-Owned Business Organizations, and we were able to incubate and technically assist over 100 small businesses. And South Suburban in the college system has taken that model and improved upon it. We took the model to the City of Chicago and Parmesan, partnered with city colleges and organizations like the Urban League, and were able to assist hundreds of more small businesses. Now, the Contractors Business Development Center and the three colleges have improved on the model, and we're getting traction. We're seeing people successfully bid, successfully compete, get themselves in a position where they can be a part of this public opportunity. So I wanted just to encourage you to continue to support the Contractors Business Development Center. Again, look at some of the disadvantaged businesses that are able now to contract with the tollway, and know that we can grow that. We have the team in place, the talent, and a base of small businesses that are ready to take the next step. And with your support, I think this program will be very, very successful. Thank you.
Next is Mr. Bob Israel. He is from Chicago, and he is with the Save Our Community Coalition.
Mr.
Israel.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. I want to say thanks for letting me speak, as Jimmy said, and thanks for, I got a flyer there that the African American Contract Association meeting. I'm going to be the outreach and Pastor Brooks Church. I think that's the first time in 4 or 5 years since I've been here, since been one on in Chicago, not on Southside. So I want to thank you guys for that. When the previous speaker said this is Governor Ronald Reagan's authority, I didn't look at it that way, but it is.
Good thing, because under the Quinn Tollway Authority, we got like $16 million out of $2 billion that was spent. That's like, to Rocha, it's just unacceptable to me. It sounds like a lot of money, $16 million, but out of $2 billion over 5 years, that don't make no sense to me. Under the other administration, too, they said they were going to look into a mentor protege, which I think we need because some of our contractors are lacking some things. I just heard somebody speaking about a program they want to support at South Suburban College. I don't know how long that's been in existence, but I don't know why should we support it. We only got $16 million, but I guess that's another subject. I guess I'm part of the microwave generation. I'd like to see things done quick. I mean, these meetings coming so quick. I can't believe I've been to like 2 meetings, and it seemed like 2 weeks, but it's been 2 months. So I just hope this board takes into consideration help improving black contractors, not minorities, because if you look at the numbers, one group of minorities got $200 million. I guess you mixed that $200 million with our $16 million. It seemed like a lot of money went to our community, but it did not. And to be honest, I would love to see those $16 million that went to our community because we got a lot of pass-throughs and front companies out here. So that $16 million probably didn't even go to our community. But that's a whole other subject. I just want to ask this board if it can just please bring these road builders to the table, too. We can make all these implementations, but if we don't bring the Illinois road builders to the table, like I've been requested, it won't have it. IAC, I know them all. Dave Rock, I know them all. I know them all. Trust me, they know me. They did some projects in Chicago right now. Had a hundred. They called the big big fiasco with Metra. So if we could just move some things forward, it'd be greatly appreciated. Like I said, I'm part of the microwave generation. I just want to do it quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Israel. Next is Dr. Eli
Eliyah,
yeah.
Israel.
I need help. No
problem. I help our brothers keep
them. Very well.
Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
In the language of my ancestors, Boca Chol, that means good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Dr. Eliyah Israel, and some of the fiasco that's been going on here with the Cholway Authority has literally made me sick. And that's why I've been absent for a couple of years now. But I'm so thankful that Yah has given me the strength to recover, blessed me from the top of my head, the sole of my feet, and everything in between. And I, too, here am saying that the division of the disbursement of funds is an abomination. And everybody here, I come here and in spiritual God, because this is also a spiritual matter. It's beyond an economic matter. And people that are committing what is called financial genocide on our people, I want you to know that there's a judgment day coming real soon. In the preamble of the state of Illinois, there is a term called God Almighty. In the language of my ancestors, that means El Shaddai, or the Almighty Judge. And as sure as you're breathing, you're calling his name subconsciously. I want us to know that if we don't include every human specimen, because I only believe in one race, and that's the human race. If we do not include every human specimen in the economic growth, not just in the tollway, not just in the state, not just in this nation, then I'm telling you that you're creating sin against our maker and our creator. If he wanted somebody not to be here, guess what? He could eliminate him in a moment's notice. He has that power and that authority. Again, going over the numbers of Bob Israel stated those numbers. Those numbers are, it's a crying shame. Seriously, and I don't mean no harm. I'm just coming to tell you like it is. I've been crying about this for about 5 years, maybe a little better now. Another thing is that if we don't approach the situation like it is a state emergency, a national emergency, then what goes around come around. Not only will it continue to affect us, but sooner or later it will affect you. And on that note, I say be blessed. Shalom.
Thank you, Doctor. Next is Mr. Omar Sharif. He is from Chicago, and he is with the African American Contractors Association. Mr. Sharif.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. And thank you, Chairman, for having us again. And we're going to continue to come until we see some type of change happen in this community, where the tollway, the road builders, as well as your general contractors are not responding to the African-American community. I thank you very much, Chairman, Executive Director, and your Chief of Staff for at least attempting to push forward a contractor summit in our community. As Doc, as well as Bob Israel stated, we've been pushing for that for over 4 years. They told us they couldn't do it, Gustavo and his group. And with just the moment of notice of bringing the issues and concerns to you and our great governor, it happened. And I think good things going to happen into that summit that's going to happen on October 29th. I think contractors going to understand that the tollway is more open now than it ever been. I think jobs are going to come out of there. I think good opportunities are going to come. But the bad part about it is that it took this long to happen. And so I'm asking the tollway board, the trustees here, the executive director, the chairman, the chief of staff, to understand that there's a lot of cronyism going on here, a lot of nepotism, a lot of racism going on. And why I say that, I was at a meeting yesterday at the Chicago Urban League. And the good thing about coming to these meetings that reminds me is that our meeting is the Wednesday before y'all meet. So I'm able to advertise your meeting and ask people to come to your meeting because if they're concerned with the Johnson contract, we need to address it. The gentleman came to me and said, you know, my wife worked for the tollway owner. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said that she worked in the, I guess, the buyer's park department of the tollway. It's 50 buyers. Everybody's Caucasian. She was the only female. She was the only one that was probably over 50 or 60. And she was targeted as an African-American woman to the point that she got fed up. Corey and my friend, Dotson, I was going to call you your father name, but Earl Dotson, but hey, Brother Dotson, that it hurt to the point that she said that the pressure was so intensified with her that she just went the next morning, went home, she lived in Joliet, and just wrote out a resignation letter because of the fact that she was targeted as an African-American woman. And this happened under Rounder's watch now. She got in there under Pat Quinn's watch. And I'm saying that to say to you guys is that if you guys have not started to deal with sensitivity classes as we push Lou Collins over at IIT, you guys need to look at that because what's happening now as we are a community of color and people, as Doc stated, we need to look at the fact that some of your people are not used to having people that's African-American around. And we need to make sure that they sensitize to that. We're going to hold you, Brother Dotson, Brother, our pastor, Corey Brooks. He's doing so well, I may have to join his church next Sunday or two, but I'm telling you that I just thank God for him being here because it's making a change for us here in this tollway. Because we put 4 to 5 years to have, yes sir, inner community involvement of African Americans involved with the community. We mentioned it yesterday at the meeting at the Urban League. Everybody was over 60 people there. Everybody said they're going to be there. Contractors that are doing business right now, the DBE, and some that want to do business. So I'm saying that to you guys to keep doing what you're doing, but we're going to keep pushing to see that you do better. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sharif. Next is essentially an unreadable one, but it's Paul and it's MC, and then I can't see what it is.
McKinley.
There you go.
Your organization. Chairman.
Vote organization.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody on the board for having the event at Pastor Corey Brooks Church. That is actually a leap forward for this board, and we're really enthused about it. But you must be able to give Pastor the ability to change some of the things that were in place under that old decrepit regime that denied us and all of the Illinoisans jobs, contracts, and opportunities. I request a meeting with you, sir. I don't want to mess your name up. But, I don't want to mess your name up. I'm requesting a meeting with you to, because some people say that if you need to talk to the person, don't listen to what other folks say about it. So maybe we should have a meeting with you and air our little grievance offline. Are you willing to sort of have a meeting?
No, we're not going to have any. We don't discuss things here. If you want to talk to them afterwards, that would be.
No, fine. I'm saying afterwards, sir. Chairman.
No. If we start having conversation back and forth between our public commentators and the staff, we'll be here all day. But if you would like to talk to Gustavo after this meeting, privately about having a meeting, I'm sure that he would be willing to do that. But we're not going to have a conversation back and forth here.
Well, I apologize, Chairman. I was just asking, could I have a meeting with him? That was it.
Well, why don't you check with him afterwards? forth, I'm sure he'd be willing to meet with you. But if we start having conversation back and forth between our public commentators and the board, that's not the purpose. So our purpose here is to listen to what you have to say. So proceed, and then if you want to talk to Gustavo after the meeting.
Okay. I'll just ask for a request to meet with him. That's all. I don't want to say his name. That was my issue. Also, I'd like to say that in order to facilitate the change in with this new government, who has given a mandate to change and to go in another direction, we think that that some of the requests that we would put down on paper to give you, Mr. Chairman, to help Pastor Corey Brooks, so that he can facilitate our people. Since we've been left out the process, and this is not your fault, this is what you inherited. Since we was left out the process, there's some remedies. Some things need to be changed to open up the process for just regular folks. And so that's our whole thing coming here today, is we thank you for coming to the community. But we also need to give him the remedies so that he'd be able to make the changes so people can participate in the development of their community. And that's basically it, Mr. Chairman.
Very well.
Thank you, Paul.
And next is Mr. Joseph Watkins. He is with Saving Our Seeds Incorporated. And he would like to talk about inclusion opportunities. Mr. Watkins.
Yes. Hello, everyone, and thank you for letting me speak. This is my first time here. But I've been following the history of Toro and its social exclusion or its racism policies or practices going on that's been excluding African Americans. And I think that sounds like I've been hearing that you all are willing to move forward, but I think that we're missing something or something should be added to some of the activity. I think that a lot of businesses that want to do business with the Toro are probably unprepared or inexperienced, and I think that you all should consider having a technical component to help develop businesses to do business with the Toro. I think that would greatly impact your move forward to try to bring new business, especially if African Americans in. So really, that's all I want to say today. But I will come back with other statistics and data that I want to share with you all, but I don't have it at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Watkins. Next is Mr. Larry Jones, and he is with Outlook, and he would like to discuss how to do business with the tollway. Mr. Jones.
Chairman, when I wrote that, I thought this was going to be a different type of meeting. Okay. But since I'm here, I'm speaking on how to do business with the tollway. I'm a component of the new change in policy. Our firm was just awarded a project here with the tollway. It's a difficult process due to the fact that the learning curve was new to us. But if you're prepared as structurally as you should be, the curve does tend to curve into a better sense of understanding your policies and how you do business. We were then awarded a second project with the tollway, which was a little bigger than the one we had before, but the process with the tollway is upper management has one idea, lower management has another. The problem we have is in the middle. When we have to do policies, the policy does not favor minority firms. Those firms tend to have to go through a lot more rigid process of getting through the insurance requirements with the tollway. You say that you are applying, or your process is minority set-asides. Well, some of the insurance requirements for the minority set-asides don't match the project. I.e. a project we're doing that's under $1 million has to have $20 million in insurance coverage, which is kind of out of balance.
And those costs are hitting the small minority firms immediately. That's a big impact to us and cost-wise. Some firms can handle that, some firms can't. We were fortunate that we were in that position because we were doing some metro projects and their insurance requirements were similar. The other curve that I see that needs to be worked out in the minority compliance division is the access to information and how it operates. We've had one training class on your AR-15 scheduling system, which is good, and we know it pretty well, but it took a while for our system and our people to catch up to that curve. But once those things take place, the work itself is not difficult. It's just the middle process of those documentations and those items that we deal with in the sense of compliance. We've had documents sent back to us because we forgot to witness something. Well, I can't witness my own signature. And that held us up another week. So things like that, we need to, well, the tollway needs to be a little more open about those scenarios and how that is trained and how it's got out to us and how we can be more adaptations to actually put the process in play for us to make sure that we are in compliance and we can do the project. I think most of the African Americans in this room said work is can be done. It can. The work is not hard here. I've done much bigger projects, much more complicated projects. That's what we're doing. But the compliance of the documents make it even difficult. It logs you down. We had to hire two staff people just to do your paperwork. Just to do your paperwork for a project that's under $1 million. I have $3 million project, and I only have two project managers handling four projects. In this case here, I have to hire different staff. So that being the case, we're hoping, and we're optimistic that the future with the tollway will be good for us. We're looking forward to moving forward with this project. We're excited about it. And the second one we won, we haven't had compliance documents yet, but I'm hoping that will come along soon. That will be a new structure for us, and we've done that before in the past. So we're hoping that this new outreach with the new governor's administration, how you guys are approaching this process with the minority piece, will benefit all minority firms that are coming out to do work. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
All right, that concludes the public comment portion of our meeting. We will now proceed to the approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting held on September 24th, 2015. Everybody should have received a copy of those and had the opportunity to review it. May we have a motion to approve those minutes as presented?
Motion approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion, corrections, or changes? Hearing nothing, all those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved for the regular meeting of September 24, 2015, as presented. We will now proceed to item number two under the chairman's report, which is approval of the minutes of the executive session of September 24, 2015. If there's no objection, we will defer that until after our executive session, so that if anybody wishes to discuss particulars, they have the opportunity to do it in closed session first. Hearing no objection, we will now proceed to item number three, which is committee reports. Our finance committee has met since our last meeting. They have gone over the majority of the items in detail that are on our agenda today. And I would ask the chair of that committee, Mr. Gomez, Director Gomez, if there is any additional report or any report period that you would like to make at this point.
The meeting was held on October 15th, and we have no additional items to report.
Very good. Thank you, Chairman Gomez. I will now ask the chairman of our Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Chairman Brooks. His committee has also met since the last time that we met. I think it was the first meeting of that committee. Chairman Brooks, is there any report that you would like to make at this point?
Anybody to read this report that we have?
It's totally up to you. You can, if you have some additional report you want to make, you're more than free to do that. You're not under any obligation.
No additional report.
Very good. Thank you, Chairman Brooks.
We will proceed to the last item, which is under my report, which at this point I would just take a point of personal privilege. I'm happy to introduce my daughter, Kate, who is with us today. And I've embarrassed her. Kate has just moved back from Australia, and I'm very happy to have her here. And thank you for being here, Kate. Appreciate it. And that concludes my report. We will now proceed to the Executive Director's report, and I will turn the matter, or I turn the meeting over to Mr. Benloff.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I have four matters for the Board's consideration today. In the interest of time, I'll keep my introductory remarks brief. The first is the introduction of our 2016 tentative budget. Mike Kelch and Kathy Williams will provide you an overview of our proposed budget for 2016. And again, in the interest of time, rather than talking about all the great work that went into this budget and the hard work and the amount of time that went into it, I'll let Mike dive right into the details. We did do our best to hold the agency's spending in line and maintain our employee headcount, even as we begin to maintain and support a larger system with the addition of Illinois 390 and additional programs and additional services that we're trying to work with our contractors and employees on. So, Mike.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. This morning, Kathy Williams and I, Kathy is the Deputy Chief of Finance, will be presenting a tentative budget recommendation for 2016. This is the first step in a formal process that actually takes several months preceding the adoption of a final budget, so there will be opportunity for public review and public comment and input from the board as we go through this process. The tentative budget, there's certain requirements in the Toll Highway Act and in the Tollways Trust Indenture, which is a covenant that we have with bondholders, that require that we present a tentative budget and that it accommodate operating costs first. That's the first priority. Obviously, you need to operate and run the road successfully to collect the tolls, then to provide debt service for our bonds that we've issued, and then to fund infrastructure investment in capital. So as you can see from this slide, this is the schedule. Tentative budget presented in October, November, public comment and review on that tentative budget, and that will be presented to the board. Any changes that arise from that review process would be incorporated into the final budget that would be presented in October for a vote for the board on the adoption of the final budget. There are three public hearings that are scheduled tentatively. They're not here, but they'll occur in Chicago Heights on the 12th of November, I think at 6 p.m., City Hall. On the 17th of November in Lake County at the permit facility in Libertyville, also at 6 p.m. on the 17th, and then here back here at the Tollway headquarters on the 19th at 8:30 in the morning. So those will be the times for those hearings. With respect to the highlights of the 2016 tentative budget recommendation, revenue does continue to perform well to meet expectations. Traffic growth, particularly in 2015, has been strong, reflecting a growing economy and an improving employment picture. Maintenance and operations spending will be held to about 3.6% growth, which is within and actually below kind of our long-term financial plan